This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Now then, today we begin the second to the last message in our sermon series called What Jesus Did, He Does, from the Gospel of Mark. We begin by telling a story about Speedy Morris, who was the basketball coach at LaSalle University, I think from 1986 to 2001. It's a funny story, but yet it illustrates a point that we lead into the message today about the cleansing of the temple. One of the most dramatic moments in the ministry of Christ is when he came in and cleansed the temple, representing what he wants to do in the temple that's known as you and me. God bless you as you listen all this week. Well, Speedy Morris was the name of a men's basketball coach for LaSalle University in Philadelphia. He was shaving one morning when his wife told him, have you ever shouted at your husband through the bathroom door or vice versa? She shouted through the bathroom door, hey, Sports Illustrated magazine's on the phone. They want to talk to you. He was so excited while he's shaving that he cut himself. He's bleeding. Quickly wipes off his face, runs out the door of the bathroom, not wanting to delay the caller, and he loses his balance and he tumbles down the stairs. So here he is limping with blood and lather on his face. He finally gets to the phone and says, Speedy Morris. And the person on the other end of the phone says, could I interest you in a subscription to Sports Illustrated magazine? His wife misunderstood the phone call. And he was totally let down because he had psyched himself up that it was going to be something more special than that, maybe some national recognition from a national sports publication. Jesus experienced disappointment in a way that's profoundly unintelligible for us. We can't understand what he felt. When Jesus Christ, the Son of God, walked into the temple area of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, in a place that was noted for worship, a place that was known as sacrifice for the sins of the people, a place known for adoration of the Lord God Almighty, and Jesus sees these flea market tables everywhere. Money changers changing money for exorbitant theft-type interest rates or exchange rates. People selling things at 10 and 12 and 15 times what people could buy them outside the temple area. And it was, a simply put, a racket going on in the temple area of the Lord. And Jesus would make one of the most dramatic statements of his ministry when he said, my house will be known as a house of prayer, but you've turned it into a den of robbers. And it's in Mark, the Gospel of Mark, the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 15. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. Listen to verse 16. I want you to underline it if you do that in your Bible, because Mark's the only one who has this in his account. And would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. The chief priest and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. And then if you'll turn to Psalm 139, if you want, or just watch the screen, Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Well, we'll continue this message tomorrow on Cross Hope from Mark 11 about the cleansing of the temple, dramatic story in the life of Jesus. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
The term is called price gouging. Price gouging. There's a legal definition of it according to the Princeton School of Business. Price gouging is pricing above the market price when no alternative retailer is available. Listen to that again. Price gouging is pricing above the market price when no alternative retailer is available. If you've ever been to a state fair, you've been the victim of price gouging. You ever been to a county fair? You've been the victim of price gouging. You ever been to an amusement park, a ballpark, a movie theater? You are the victim of price gouging. Some man told me after first service, he said, just buying popcorn and drinks for my kids, he said, I maxed out my credit card at a theater. And I could believe it, what they charge. And price gouging is when there's a captive consumer. You're on our property, you're in our facility, you're in our fairgrounds, you're in this theater, whatever the case may be, and you're going to pay the prices that we charge. You're not going to bring those things in from the outside. I want to give you a brief description of what happened in the temple area. Jesus comes in, and of course he knew what was going on fully, that people would come in and they would pay what was called a temple tax. But get this. They wouldn't accept other currencies, so they had money changers who would take your money and charge you an exorbitant exchange rate. People would come in to make sacrifices, and the most common animal sacrifice that people would bring would be a dove. And it had to be an unblemished dove. And you say, well, couldn't you bring your own dove? You sure could, but here was the problem. There were dove inspectors at the door who said, you know, I don't like the looks of that dove. That's got a blemish here and a blemish there. You can't use that for sacrifice, but we'll sell you one for 10, 15, 20 times the going rate on the outside. It was simply a racket. And Jesus comes in and displaying anger on behalf of his Father. Jesus wasn't having a temper tantrum. Jesus didn't lose it. He didn't go postal or whatever the term you want to use. He simply reacted. He simply reacted on behalf of the Father, and get this, he drives out people who were buying and selling. He turns over tables of the money changers and the dove benches. And then he says in verse 16 that I told you to underline, he says, don't even carry any merchandise through this property. And I'll talk about that in a minute. What Jesus did, he does. This is why I think this is going to be controversial, is I'm going to make some application of the verbs here, the three things that Jesus did. Because that's what Mark's about, and talk about that's what he does. Mark is real big on Jesus immediately did this, and then immediately he got in the boat, and immediately he encountered a demonic spirit, and it's one event after another. Not neglecting the teachings of Jesus at all, but Mark was interested in what Jesus did. And I want to talk about the three phrases. The first one's in verse 15. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. Remember a few minutes ago I read from 1 Corinthians that said your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? If Jesus Christ were walking through the temple of your life right now, in my life, honest personal question, what would Jesus drive out of your life? And you know, when I ask that question, and I'm not being melodramatic, but every man in this room knows immediately what needs to be driven out. Every woman in this room knows in her spirit, in her heart, what needs to be driven out. What is it that Jesus would drive out of the temple that is you? Not this building, not this property. What would Jesus drive out of a temple with your name on it? Because Paul said, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit resides and lives in you?
We'll continue tomorrow. Our website is crosshope.org.
If Jesus Christ were walking through the temple of your life right now, in my life, honest personal question, what would Jesus drive out of your life? What is it that Jesus would drive out of the temple that is you? Not this building, not this property. What would Jesus drive out of a temple with your name on it? Because Paul said, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit resides and lives in you? I find that very intriguing because everybody knows the answer. We just don't want to tell anybody. And that's okay. But tell him. And give the Lord permission to do what only the Lord can do, what no psychology can do, what no book can do, to drive out of your life that which needs to be driven out in the power and in the authority and in the name of Christ. Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer. I think he's talking about you in the New Testament sense. You are his house and I am his house. We belong to him. And he has a right to cast out of our lives what needs to come out. The second phrase, it's right in that verse there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. I'm always interested in word meaning, so I wanted to know, what does the word overturn mean in the original? Found out the Greek word is katastrepho. Well, you don't have to be a language expert to know we get the word catastrophe, catastrophic. Jesus did something catastrophic in that he overturned their benches and overturned their tables. And the thought occurred to me, what Jesus did, he does. He wants to overturn some things in your life. You know what he wants to overturn? Your value system. He wants to overturn things in your life so that what used to be important but now is no longer important becomes important. The things, the spiritual things in life perhaps. Or things that never were important in your life become important now. He catastrophically wants to overturn some tables and benches, figuratively speaking, in your life, and I believe he can do it. Overturn our value system about money. I just read this week about the unbelievable debt, and I'm sure some of you that have gone to Financial Peace have heard these statistics before. But Jim Bell is a minister from North Carolina who said, I was in a seminar for ministers recently. The speaker said that the per capita level per adult for credit card debt in the United States is $9,000. He said that if we were preaching to just 100 adults on Sunday morning, then we were preaching to almost $1 million in credit card debt. Wow. If we preach to 100 adults in any given service on Sunday morning, we're preaching to almost $1 million in credit card debt. He said the average American adult spends $1,100 a year on the lottery. He told the people they might as well drive down the interstate and throw $20 bills outside your car window as just as soon do that as spend $1,100 on the lottery. He then clearly identified our addiction to materialism when he shared that last year Americans spent $12 billion to rent storage units. Get that, we spent $12 billion to store stuff that we can't keep in our homes. It's funny, a coincidence. I just read this week in another article that there are 2.3 billion, I believe was the statistic, 2.3 billion square feet of storage space in the United States in these little rental places. And the author said there's enough rental space that you can take every man, woman, and child in the United States and give them 7 square feet. Of place to stand, so we'd all be under roof of a storage place.
Well, you might challenge those statistics, but the point of that illustration is true. We do have so much stuff as a nation. Crosshope.org is our website. That's crosshope.org.
That there are 2.3 billion, I believe was the statistic, 2.3 billion square feet of storage space in the United States in these little rental places. And the author said there's enough rental space that you can take every man, woman, and child in the United States and give them 7 square feet of place to stand. So we would all be under roof of a storage place. And the point of this author and the other author that I read were saying this, we've got too much stuff. We've got too much stuff. And what is it that the Lord would want us to get rid of? And this is not a guilt trip on anybody. It's just to get us to look at what we have and what we say we must have when we spend $12 billion a year just to store the stuff we can't keep at the house. And the Lord comes to cast things out. He comes to overturn catastrophically the tables in our life and say, get rid of it. It's taking over your life. It's not because it's inherently evil, but it's because your obsession with it has taken the place of God in your life. You know, the passage I read in Psalms said that, Lord, see if there be any offensive way in me. I found out that phrase, offensive way, can mean idle. That's an interesting thing. Lord, is there any idol in my life? In a Christian? Yeah. In a person that goes to church every Sunday? You better believe it. Is there any idol in my life? An idol is anything that takes the place of the living Lord in my life, and I can have an idol in my life just as you can have an idol in your life. And the Lord says, get out of his life. Get out of her life. And the Lord overturns the tables in our lives in a dramatic way to show us that he is Lord, not what we own is Lord. As I mentioned earlier, this was not a temper tantrum. It was a deliberate act with an intentional message. Jesus wanted us to know that the temple is sacred, and Paul said, you're that temple. Now, I purposely saved verse 16 for the last, because this is going to be the most controversial part of the message. Verse 16 says, and Jesus would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. Jesus would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. I find it interesting that Mark's the only one who mentions this. Matthew, Luke, and John don't mention verse 16, but Mark does. You know what that means? That people were using the temple area to carry their garbage. They were using the temple area as a shortcut. One author said that the temple courtyards would be a way that you would cut maybe a block off your trip from point A to point B. And people would be carrying animals. They would be carrying things they were buying and selling. They were carrying merchandise of all types. They'd be moving furniture through it. And Jesus, I find it intriguing, said, you're not going to carry that stuff through the temple. Now here's the dramatic part. What is it that you're carrying in your life right now, the baggage that you're carrying, that the Lord may be telling a man here today or a woman here today, drop it. You've been carrying that hatred of that woman in your heart for 20 years, and today the hatred goes. You've been carrying a hatred for that guy for 10 years, and now you're going to drop it. There's baggage in your life and in my life that we carry through the temple of the Lord's presence, because we are that temple and the Holy Spirit resides in us. It's a message today for somebody in all three services to put down what they've been carrying. You know what it is for you. And the person next to you knows what it is for him or for her. What is it that you are carrying that you need to put down in the power and the authority of Christ?
Well, I'm going to ask you to make every effort to listen to Cross Hope tomorrow for the conclusion of this message from Mark 11 about the cleansing of the temple. And that temple represents your heart and my heart. Our website is crosshope.org.
It's a story that Rajan told us personally when we had lunch with him. I don't even know how it came up, folks, but he started talking about mental hospitals in India 100 years ago. And he said there was a test that they would give people in mental hospitals 100 years ago or maybe more to see if they were sane. And I was intrigued by this story, absolutely fascinated by it. Rajan said they would bring a person down to a room. One of the doctors would bring this person who'd been treated at the hospital for mental instability, and they would take them into a room, and in this concrete floor room, there would be a spigot, a water spigot on the wall, and it would not be gushing out, it would just be on, and water was covering the floor. And the test for mental sanity was to hand the person, the mental patient, a mop and a bucket and say, would you clean this room, please? Get the water up. And believe it or not, there were many people that would take the bucket and the mop, and then they would just start mopping the floor. The water's running out of the spigot, and they would mop, and then he said they would wring out the water into the bucket, and they would keep mopping, and they would do it all day. They would just mop. And only a handful, would go over when they got in the room and say, you know what we need to do? We need to turn this spigot off. And when a man or woman would do that, they'd say, that man is sane. That man is cured because he knew to turn off the spigot. Here's my point. There are people in this room, emotionally and spiritually, and all you've been doing all your life is the mop and the bucket with this relationship. I got to clean up this mess with him, and I've still got this baggage with mom, and I got to clean up that, and the spigot's still running. The spigot's still running. And Jesus didn't come with a spiritual mop and bucket for you to clean up the messes in your life. He came to deliver you from the bondage. And he came to turn off the spigot, and he said, get rid of this stuff and overturn the tables and catastrophically change things in your life. Turn things upside down in a positive way. And then he says, you're no longer going to carry that stuff through the temple. And maybe today, as there were in both services, the first two services, people who are going to come out and say, I've been carrying a mop and bucket all my life, and I'm tired. I'm tired of mopping up messes in my life, and I need deliverance, and I think that can happen today in the name of Christ and in the power of Christ. Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer. That was a claim to deity. I don't know if you get that. What Jesus was saying this is my house. And I'm sure people said, who does that guy think he is to drive out those money changers? Who does he think he is to turn over the tables? I'll tell you who he is. God in the flesh. It was a claim to deity when Jesus took authority and said, my house, my temple will not be a den of thieves or robbers. I want to leave you with this thought. If the Lord were to describe the temple that you or me, what phrase would he use? A den of what? A den of robbers? A den of bitterness? A den of anger? A den of resentment? A den of lust? What would he use to describe the den that is you? We might be shocked, and I just want you to know that what Jesus did, he does. He wants to cleanse the temple area, and that temple, according to the Apostle Paul, is you and me. Not the person just next to you, but it's you. You, Paul said, don't you get it? Don't you know that you are the temple and the Holy Spirit resides in you? Change the way you think about everything. This may be the most important message in the whole series. Let me tell you why. Because there are too many people with buckets and mops in this room, and we need to be delivered. We need to turn the spigot off and let the Lord work in our lives beginning today. Let him do it. Give him the permission to do it. And you know what? He will. He will. Let's pray together.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.